their qualification. Then he sells them the name by bargaining for his price accordingly. Oh, my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then just come along with me, for I am now going to meet with this Nityananda Mahajan. Thus you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I will also take my due commission, and in this way all three of us will fulfill our desires. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful. Accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gora, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Now, dear friends, please reject all of Maya's entangling snares. If you are a householder, then just remain at your home. If you are renounced, then just live in the forest. Either way, nothing more will trouble you. We no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel, for the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. Bhaktivinoda loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter.
Thank you.
Discussion before. We were speaking for about a half hour before you got here. So I thought maybe we'd ask if there's any questions before we go on. But if I say before we go on, that gives you all an excuse to not ask questions. Tell me what the essence of this budget is. We've talked about it many times before. Boyle Sukir Kabo Gai. Essence.
Good news?
Huh?
I know a little bit of Bengali.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to work in Calcutta for 2 or 3 years.
All right.
Boda meaning large or big.
Uh-huh.
Sukir meaning suk.
Happiness.
Comfort, happiness. Kabo is news or
event.
Guy.
Yes. Guy. Guy
is
not the Hindi word guy.
Guy.
Guy. But what is the greatest happiness?
Chanting the name of the Lord.
Chanting the name of the Lord. Yes. And how to obtain that name?
Faith. Huh?
Faith, yes, definitely.
The unity of the bodies.
Huh?
The unity of the bodies.
Unity, you're talking about the point that we discussed before. Actually, that's true. I mean, we can see how sometimes this unity can shatter our faith. But of course, one who has implicit faith in the holy name of the Lord, he is not disturbed under any circumstances, any upheavals. He's always fixed in his conviction that there is no greater shelter than the holy name. So to obtain that faith, of course, requires that, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining in this bhajan, one has to receive the pure holy name from Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is described here as he is the chief trader of the holy name of the Lord, and he has different salesmen and he has brokers who go out in his behalf trying to market the holy name of the Lord. So, what's the price? You already said it, Yamuna.
Faith.
Faith. Price is one's faith. And therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful, accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gura, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. So So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord. And the marketplace, what is being sold, is the pure holy name of the Lord. The price is one's faith for obtaining that pure holy name. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains elsewhere, if someone pays the price by giving a little faith, then Lord Nityananda is so merciful that what does he give back in return to that person? He gives him everything he used to purchase it back to him so he can come back and buy more. So the real goal is, of course, going through the different stages of Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, then Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, the different levels of, these are all different levels of faith. Prema being the topmost platform of faith, where one's faith is completely unshakable, one is situated in ecstatic love of God. Shraddha is the very beginning of devotional service, where one begins his devotional service by hearing with a little faith about the glories of Krishna. And Lord Nityananda is described as the chief trader because Lord Nityananda, even if somebody didn't have faith in the holy name of the Lord, because what it requires in order to get it, one has to have some faith, a little faith. So Lord Nityananda was so merciful that he created faith, awakened faith in the heart by his method of distribution. His method of distribution was that Lord Nityananda would go out on behalf of the order of Lord Chaitanya, Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Koro Krishna, Siksha, chant Krishna's name, and tell others about Krishna, and teach others about Krishna, worship Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya gave that order to Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, who went into the streets and approached everyone they met with tears in their eyes, asking, "We only ask for one, we are beggars," is described in another bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that, this is Prabhur Agyai Bhai, what is this? Prabhur Agyai Bhai Magi A Bhiksha. You know Bengali. What is it?
Bhiksha.
Yes. Bhiksha.
Yeah, Sikhams.
Yes.
What does it
mean? Prabhu means master. Agyai. Bhai, brother. My dear brother. Huh? Magi A Bhiksha.
Sikhams.
I'm seeking alms. So Lord Nityananda would go out to everyone and say, "I'm seeking alms. What do I want?" He would say, "I want you to just chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and make Krishna your life. This is my alms." And he was saying this because Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, "You go out every day in the street and you give this instruction to others, and then you come back and tell me who has chanted Krishna's name. That's what I want." So it's not a very big commercial undertaking. Nityananda wasn't going out. He's saying, "I'm begging alms. I want something." But what does he want more than anything else? He wants more than anything else that they, whoever he approaches, take up the chanting of Krishna's name so they could become happy. So his method of distribution was that it was completely clear of any other motivation. Pure motivation. Transparent. He was not interested, as we talked about before, anarthas. He was not interested in any personal profit. So I want to take something from you. And although there's an interesting point that is raised here, to avoid any confusion, I'll just simply explain it right now so there's no confusion about this particular point. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is calling this the song of the broker, A broker is somebody who goes out and he brokers a deal, and he takes it back to the person who sells them the product, and then the broker gets his commission. So he's saying right here, he said that thus you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I will also take my due commission. In this way, all three of us will fulfill our desires. So what is this commission that the broker is getting? Can anyone tell me? Guess? Or who heard me explain it before? And might remember how I explained it? The devotee is not interested in taking anything for himself. Why is this broker interested in taking a commission? Hare Krishna. Excuse me. I forgot to turn my phone on. It's true. Very true. I would consider that a correct answer. I'm looking.
Mercy.
Mercy? Yes. But what is the most valuable commodity in the marketplace of the holy name? What is it that can purchase the holy name?
Faith.
So the more faith one has, right, the more he has access to the pure holy name. So we said there's different levels of faith. So he wants to take a commission. What is the commission he gets?
More faith.
More service, yes.
Increases his faith.
Right? By seeing somebody get Nityananda's mercy, seeing how his life becomes completely transformed by getting a little faith, he takes this person who previously had no faith, he brings him to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda just says, okay, you know, I ask for just a little faith. He gives it, like the example is given, like a person sometimes goes out in this, or a company will go out in the street sometimes when they have a new product and they want to try to raise awareness about the product, they make free samples. Right? Sometimes you see them on street corners with little packets, whatever it may be. Sometimes it's cigarettes or laundry detergent or something. They give a, but there's a little sample that's free, but what do they really want? They want you to come back and buy the bigger product, right? Of course they want their money, yes, but they want to make sure that if you take this sample, use it, see if it works for you. If it does, come by and buy a big bottle. And, of course, become a repeat customer. So, of course, the person who gives out the free samples, you know, of course, the more he's convinced about the product, the more he can convince others to, you know, to come back and buy it. So in the same way, the more that one has faith in the holy name and can awaken faith in somebody else, and then this person comes back to Lord Nityananda, gets the holy name of the Lord, and his life is transformed, and he gets a commission. What is his commission? His faith also. He gets more faith. He sees how powerful is this process of chanting Hare Krishna. So the method of awakening faith, Lord Nityananda's method of awakening, was that he had no other interest than to see others, to please Lord Chaitanya, who wanted everyone. I've come in every town and village, my name will be chanted. I want everyone to take this name and make their lives perfect. Make their lives completely, or as he says, I'm singing news of the greatest happiness. That please take this holy name and make your life perfect. And the only thing that I'm looking for is just simply to pay the price of faith. So, the greatest benediction, of course, is to have the opportunity to associate with a devotee who has faith, who gives us a little faith. And the more we associate with devotees who have faith, the more our faith increases. And the more our faith increases, the more we take shelter in the holy name of the Lord, and the more we get our returns, which is more faith. And then what happens is that ultimately that faith in the pure holy name will blossom in
pure love of Godhead, the highest form of ecstasy, that pure ecstatic love. And Lord Nityananda is so merciful, as described here, that, as we were talking about before, he doesn't pay any attention. He pays no attention to one's caste, to one's material wealth, to one's mundane knowledge or physical ability. We read that commentary that also about Kolavesha Shidhar that we read last night, where I just happened to open something up that completely unexpected. I'll have to go back to it in a second though. Here, where was it? Chapter 9. He had no wealth, no followers, and no education. Who can recognize such servants of Lord Chaitanya? And the devotees consider the service of Sri Chaitanya is superior to wealth, followers, and knowledge. Therefore, it is impossible for ordinary people to estimate their dignity, glories, and greatness. Vaishnavas is the strength of his faith. And what does the Lord see? The Lord sees how much this person has faith in me, how much he depends upon me. Like the story we often give of Durvasa Muni, how he was, although he was cursed, Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish, how Maharaj Ambarish was cursed, but Durvasa Muni tried to punish Maharaj Ambarish for a very minor offense, insignificant offense, for Durvasa Muni was insulted, tried to punish him by invoking a demon to come and destroy him. But Maharaj Ambarish didn't even flinch. He was not in the least bit disturbed. He was not in the least bit fearful. He didn't change. All he did was just take shelter in the Lord, and because he was fully dependent upon the Lord. And the Lord protected him. Prahlad Maharaj, same thing. Hiranyakashipu was so disturbed. When Hiranyakashipu asked his son, "Tell me what you learned in school," Prahlad Maharaj told him something quite contrary to what he had learned in school, and Hiranyakashipu was incensed because it showed signs of devotion to Lord Vishnu, who he considered to be his greatest enemy, because he considered Vishnu as the killer of his brother Hiranyaksha, and his own son was aligning himself with the enemy of Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu became so disturbed after repeated attempts to change Prahlad's Maharaj's mind away from the worship of Lord Vishnu. Described that Prahlad Maharaj's mind was like the tail of a dog. You've tried this with Rufus? So you straighten the tail of a dog, and what happens? If it's curved, the curved tail of a dog, if you try to straighten and you let it go, it will always go back. So he said, "My son Prahlad, his mind is on, as much as I try to divert his mind from Lord Vishnu, and you know, like pulling out the dog, a curved tailed dog, it will always go back to Vishnu." So Hiranyakashipu was so incensed by Prahlad's fixed faith that he tried to kill him. And what did Prahlad? He just chanted Hare Krishna. Hiranyakashipu tried to throw him off a cliff, tried to have him trampled by elephants, put in a den of poisonous snakes, stabbed and pierced by demons, put in a vat of burning ghee, oil, probably wouldn't use ghee, would consider it to and Prahlad Maharaj, he tried to poison him. He just, his mind, he had faith. His mind could not be in any way diverted. So, when the Lord sees that my devotee is so much dependent upon me, the Lord is thinking, if I don't protect them, then who else is there to protect them? I have to protect them. I have to. He's depending on me exclusively. He's not trying to make any other external material arrangement. He's not trying to overcome his suffering by some mundane endeavors. He's taking shelter exclusively in me. So the Krishna says again and again, when a devotee takes exclusive shelter in me, what does Krishna do? Krishna feels bound. Feels bound by that exclusive shelter. That devotee who takes exclusive shelter. And he assures that I will protect such a devotee. Protect him, of course, as we know, we've heard so many times, that necessarily it doesn't mean that the devotee will not experience physical harm. But the Lord's protection is that the Lord helps the devotee so that the devotee will not forget him. That is real protection. Antukali chamamivas maran mapakalevra. Whoever remembers me at the time of giving up this body, it once attains my nature. Of this there's no doubt. Anyone who has complete, firm faith in the holy name of the Lord will never have to undergo any tribulation. By his firm remembrance of the Lord, that he's assured, he's guaranteed entrance into the transcendental abode. Krishna says, anyone who remembers me. And Prabhupada, in the commentary to that verse, when he speaks about the word smaranam, ordinarily we think of smaranam in terms of remembering in the mind, but Prabhupada says, incessant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. He says that is the symptom of the devotee's smaranam, remembrance of the Lord. That he's under all circumstances, he'll chant Hare Krishna. It's like Haridas Thakur when he was beaten through 22 marketplaces. He told the Nawab, the Qazi, he said that you can cut my body into millions of pieces, but I'll never give up chanting the holy name of the Lord. And because he refused to give up chanting, he was beaten, taken through 22 marketplaces, but he was always incessantly chanting the name of the Lord. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this example of Haridas Thakur was meant to teach us that under no circumstances should a devotee ever give up chanting Hare Krishna. That's the safest place. It's the safest place. We forget. We get in anxiety. We start calculating. Well, how do I alleviate this distress? I have this problem. I have to make this arrangement. We try to adjust things externally. And we may temporarily get rid of one anxiety only to create another anxiety. Right? Prahlada Maharaj said that. He says, he quotes in the verse in this teachings to instructing his classmates. Every materialist is endeavoring for happiness and he's trying to mitigate his distress and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one cannot be happy as long as he endeavors for happiness, because as soon as he begins his endeavors for happiness, immediately his conditions for distress begin. He creates his own conditions for his distress by his endeavors for happiness. He's getting a reaction. So we think, oh yes, this immediate happiness, it brings some relief from distress, but actually that happiness which is done separate from shelter, taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord, is creating our conditions for future distress. And we don't see it. When the distress comes, we don't make any connection to something that we did in the past. Although sometimes we might think, what did I do to deserve this? And then we start thinking, oh, did I offend the devotee? Or what's our minds? But actually, the real solution is when we can just call out Krishna's name and feelingly and with full dependence. It's like that story of Draupadi. You know, when Krishna came and rescued Draupadi, when there was an attempt by Dushasana to disrobe her in the assembly of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Later Draupadi asked Krishna, she said, why did you take so long before you came and helped me? You know, she just wanted to understand why, you know, Krishna waited that long. And Krishna said to her, he said, well, when first the attempt was made to disrobe you, you thought Bhishma could help you. So you looked at Bhishma because he was the senior member of the assembly. So he was the grandfather of the Pandavas. You thought for sure Bhishma would say something. But Bhishma was powerless. He couldn't say anything. So when you turn to Bhishma and realize that he couldn't do anything, then you turn to each one of your husbands. But they had already gambled you away. You no longer belong to them. They couldn't protect you. They were helpless. So after turning to the Pandavas and each one of your husbands realizing that they couldn't protect you, then what did you do? You grabbed the sari yourself and thought you could stop Dushasana. So I didn't come. He said, but after realizing, who are you against the strength of Dushasana to stop Dushasana from disrobing you and insulting you in the assembly? When you realize that, you put your hands in the air and you said, hey Govinda, I can't. Because you had nobody else. You came to me exclusively. At that point, I came. So in the same way, we have our little temporary solutions that when we're faced with distress. But when a devotee feelingly chants Krishna's name, as we read before, devotee feelingly means, Krishna, I am exclusively dependent on you. When I look at my heart and I look at all the things that are still there within my heart, attachments that are there within my heart, the desires that I have in my heart, and my lack of full dependence on you and faith, I realize that I'm helpless without your help. I can't do it alone. I can't free myself from these attachments. I'm floundering by my own strength. I can't do it. But only you can help me. And when one chants feelingly, Krishna, I look to you exclusively for protection. Please eradicate all of these obstacles that are in the path of my devotional service to your lotus feet. And when one chants in that mood and that spirit, and Krishna seeing the mood of the devotee in a feelingly dependent way, helpless way, Krishna gives him strength. He helps him. He removes. He says, I'll remove whatever obstacles are on your path in the advancement of devotional service. Is that verse in Bhagavatam? Shinvata svakata Krishna punya shavana kirtana vidantisto hyabhudani vidinoti surit sattam. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in the heart of every living being, he cleanses material desires within the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear about him. The urgency, he realizes, I need to hear and I need to remember and take shelter of Krishna. I have to stop giving up my ideas of false shelters in this world. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. A sadhaka is supposed to be every day. He's supposed to be petitioning the Lord in the helpless mood to protect him from all the things he has to deal with every day in the course of his family responsibilities, the course of the association he has to have with non-devotees, envious people, proud people, people who are out to harm him, exploit him, take advantage of him, the allurements of the material energy, the television, the billboards, the cinemas, the everything else that is out to allure our senses and distract us. I have to enter this battlefield every day. Every single day. And I'm weak, I'm tiny. Who am I to battle against the illusory energy who works according to Krishna's direction? Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharachanam. Who am I to fight against Maya? I'm tiny. So the more we realize how tiny we are, the more we realize how dependent we are. And the more we have faith that the holy name of the Lord is our means for deliverance. There's no other. Kaloa nasceva 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 gatiranyata. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is appealing in this song to living entities to actually place their faith in chanting Krishna's name And when the devotee places his faith and the Lord is so kind, he sees that. He doesn't see one's caste, one's material wealth, his mundane knowledge or physical abilities. None of these things can attract the Lord's attention. What is our mundane wealth in the presence of that who is the most wealthy? What is our physical ability in the presence of one who is the most powerful? And what is our knowledge in the presence of one who knows everything? It's tiny, it's insignificant. So, we no longer need to fear the terrible age of Kaurava, for the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. Some questions? Arguments?
That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura described it, the benediction that men will come from Russia, from United, from America, from China, from all over the world, and be united chanting the name Jai Sachinanda. Kirata Hunanda Polinda Pukasha Abira. What is that? Abira? Forgot the verse. All the different cultures, they can all be united in devotional service by taking shelter of the devotee of the Lord, engaging in devotional service. This is real unity. That's why Prabhupada came to break these barriers, break the rippling effect. Anyways, it stimulated these things I was talking about last night, and I got off onto a whole topic, but I'm a strong advocate of kirtan and the importance of kirtan and the importance of devotees coming together for kirtan and for overcoming these conflicts. Because Kali Yuga is definitely Kaler Dosha Nidhe Rajan Asti Heko Mahadgana Kirtana Deva Krishna Syamukta Sangha Puram Vajal. Kaler Dosha Nidhe, the age of Kali is an ocean of all bad qualities, but it has one redeeming factor. Kirtana Deva Krishna Syam. By chanting Krishna's names, right, one can overcome the influence of Kali. It's the only redeeming factor in Kali Yuga. And therefore it's said that there are many demigods who are praying, as Prabhupada described, to take birth in Kali Yuga. Because Kali Yuga, the facility for becoming Krishna conscious is the most simple. The opportunity to become is most simple. All one has to do is just take shelter in kirtan. That's all. That's our only qualification. If somehow we can take shelter in kirtan. Taking shelter means feelingly chanting Krishna's names for one's own benefit and for the benefit of others. That's taking shelter. So, anyways, let's start with kirtan.
What did Lord Chaitanya offer? Yes? Yes? Why did he offer him wealth?
Why?
Yeah.
He was poor.
All right.
Good for him.
Huh?
Many holes in the dhoti.
He had many holes in his dhoti.
10
And where else did he have holes? In his roof. Right. So much so that what happened? Every time it rained, his roof would leak. Yeah. So, Lord Chaitanya was very attracted to Sridhar and wanted to reciprocate. because of Sridhar's faith in the name. Every night he would chant the names of the Lord, crying out feelingly, the holy name of the Lord. And the Lord wanted to give him a benediction. At first he offered him wealth, but what did he say? He said, I'll make you a king and give you a kingdom. And what did Kulavija Sridhar say? Huh? Did he say that? Prahlad Maharaj said that when Lord Nrisimhadev wanted to give him a benediction. He said, I was born in a family of demons, therefore don't tempt me with such an offering.
Yeah.
Yes. He said, just let me be your master. You be my master and let me be your servant, birth after birth. And let you come this as a Brahmin boy and come and steal my banana leaf cups and plates. And one last thing he said that was very important. One thing else he asked for as a benediction, which was what we were speaking about tonight.
Mala said, listen, Sridhar, I want to make you a king of a great kingdom. Sridhar replied, I do not want anything. Make such arrangement, O Lord, that I may chant your names. The Lord said, O Sridhar, you are my servant. That is why you are able to see my opulences. That is why your mind does not deviate from me. Thus I am giving you devotional service that is confidential to the Vedas. This is a little commentary I ask. All the Vaishnavas chanted Jai Jai as they heard the benediction given to Sridhar. He had no wealth, no followers, and no education. Who can recognize such servants of Lord Chaitanya? What is the value of education, wealth, beauty, fame and high birth? They only increase one's pride and bring about one's
commentary. Ordinary poverty-stricken people think that education, wealth, beauty, fame and family prestige are the goals of life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, anybody know the verse by Queen Kunti? Famous verse. I'll give you the first word. Janmaishvaya. No one knows this verse? Janmaishvaya? No? Huh? Yes. Very good. And the rest? Do you know the translation? What about the respectable parentage? But they can't, what? He said, my Lord, your Lordship can be approached but only by those who are materially exhausted. Those who are in the path of material progress trying to improve themselves by great education, respectable parentage, bodily beauty, what happens to them?
They cannot approach
with sincere feeling. Yes. Right? They think, well, why do I need you? I've got wealth, I've got power, I've got position. They can't feelingly call out Krishna's name because they're not materially exhausted. Therefore, they think that, well, all these other things are my shelter. Therefore, she prays, my Lord, your Lordship can be easily approached but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is at the path of material progress trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Not understanding this statement, people who hanker after material advancement mistakenly desire education, wealth, beauty, fame, and good family. Therefore, the transcendental greed for the service of Lord Chaitanya does not find a place in their misfortune. Wow. Therefore, the transcendental greed for the service of Lord Chaitanya. So we also have to have greed. That verse, discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, pure devotional service cannot be had by millions of births by pious activities. Pure devotional service can be obtained only by those who are what? Greedy for it. Those who are greedy for it, whenever they see it, they should immediately purchase it without delay. So there's transcendental greed. Like Narottam Das Thakur, he describes lust, anger, greed, and how they can be dovetailed. Lust can be dovetailed by offering the fruits of all of one's activities for the service of the Lord. Anger can be dovetailed by becoming angry at those who are offenders of the devotees of the Lord. Greed can be dovetailed by becoming greedy for the association of Vaishnavas who are always speaking about Krishna. Lust, anger, greed, Mada Moha, bewilderment, madness. I become mad after achieving the supreme goal. I become bewildered when I think about how I'm so unqualified for obtaining this goal. But he said, but Matsarya, envy, can never be dovetailed for the service of the Lord. There's no place for envy in the service of the Lord. Everything else, lust, anger, greed, bewilderment, madness, they can be dovetailed by connecting it to the Lord. But envy, you cannot say, oh, let me dovetail my envy for Krishna's service. It's the root cause of our conditioning in the material world. It's due to envy.
But if you are envious of other devotees, then you say that, okay, I love Krishna more. Like Meera and Radha.
If you are envious of other devotees, the tendency of the nature of envy is that it's malicious. You think somebody has something better than you, but I want to be better than him. But if I can't outdo them by my own ability, then what I have to do to be better than them is to make them look worse. If I can make them look worse, if I can chop them down to make them look worse, then immediately I'll stand out above them. That's envy. Therefore we start looking for faults. And then if we find a fault, and we advertise.
Chandravali and Radha, so wasn't she envious of Radharani?
There's envy in the spiritual world, but there's no malice. There are spiritual emotions in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is not devoid of emotions, but there's no malice. In the spiritual world, the devotee is thinking, let me do better, but it's never at the expense of somebody else's service, because that service is dear to Krishna also. Why should I obstruct that person's service for the sake of my service? Let me do better than that person, but not let me obstruct that person's service. Whereas material envy is thinking, let me obstruct that person so I can come out and get recognition.
So then it does sound like dovetailing, no?
No, that's not dovetailing. In the spiritual world, nobody's dovetailing. Dovetailing means we have the bad quality and we have to find a way to free ourselves from the influence of that bad quality. That envy only exists in the spiritual world. It doesn't exist anywhere else. So dovetailing means I have lust. I have it. But how can I focus it on Krishna? By offering the fruits of my work for Krishna. But you can't say, I have envy, let me dovetail it here. Because we have no way of dovetailing that envy here. Because envy in the material world is always pushing others down. That's the simple. Oops.
Sorry.
You put it someplace else and I still found it. So does our anger. You know, become angry for those who are offended the devotees of the Lord. So you could become angry. Yes, devotee's offended. I'll become angry at him and protect the devotee or chastise. But it's service for the devotee. But how do you dovetail envy?
I just thought that it's possible to have envy without malice, as the same way as you described. Like, okay, I don't necessarily try to push somebody else down. I might want to follow that person, but
that's
envious in a good sense.
But that's not envy, then. Oh. That's not envy. If we're thinking, you know, envy is that's greed, the desire to please the Lord. You know, to do something to please the Lord. But envy, the symptom of envy, is to push somebody down. But we never want to push anyone down, any devotee down. Anyways, this is how Narottam Das Thakur explains it, at least in his commentary to that verse, that envy cannot be dovetailed in this world. There's no place for it. The only thing we should try to do with envy is get rid of it. Because it's based upon our original envy of Krishna. Any envy that we have towards a devotee is actually based on our envy of the Lord. So, let me do better than the Lord. No, there's no place for it. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada said that we are enemies of Krishna, that's why we don't want to serve him. So he said when we are serving and by service attitude, we give up him.
Yes. By voluntarily serving Krishna and we come to accept his superior position and our subordinate position to him. And the devotee is never envious of the fact that Krishna is God. Whereas the non-devotee, they think, why is he the one that gets to enjoy without obstruction? Why is he the one that doesn't have to suffer and I have to suffer? Why is he, always, why does he have everything in his fingertips, whatever he desires, and I have to work so hard, and even when I get it, I still suffer. So that it's envy is that, why is he God and I'm not? What is so special about him? And then we become envious and we think, why should I serve him? I've worked so hard to get what I have right now, and now to serve him means I have to give it up, and he already has so much more than I do. And I'm supposed to give up all that I've worked so hard to obtain in this life? Who does he think he is taking this from me? His enemy. I want to be God too. But when one serves them, they're voluntarily expressing their submission to the Lord as being superior. But little does one know until he actually begins to break in and enter into the mysteries of devotional service that subordination to the will of the Lord is the greatest independence and the greatest wealth and the greatest happiness and joy and bliss, because that person that we submit ourselves to, only his only desire is to serve us and to satisfy all the desires in our heart. But there's no mechanical way of finding that out, testing him. Well, let's see if he'll do it first. Let's see if he serves me first. Then, of course, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he does serve us first by giving us the holy name and saying just take. But we're always testing. Well, I'll serve him if he serves me. Huh?
How do we give to Krishna?
How do we give? With our heart.
I mean, with our heart, say, you earn some money and made $1 million. And you say, the Krishna, that's yours. But still using that for raising your children or like give it out and go to the temple and donate it. It's like, how do you give to Krishna?
Prabhupada explains in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam in the commentary, this is when a devotee accepts whatever he needs and for maintaining his family, the necessities of life, but he offers everything to Krishna first and takes whatever he needs. He said, well, as long as he takes what he needs, he says, that is prasadam. That is prasadam. Prabhupada said, he uses those exact words. He quotes the verse, Isha Basa Midang Savam Yakacha Jagajam Jagat. Tina Taktina Bunjita Magurya Kasya Svedana. Everything animate or inanimate is within this universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should accept those things for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. So when a devotee lives like this, he offers everything to the Lord. Did you ever see Madhava Maharaj? You know Bhakti Vishwamba Madhava Maharaj, who brings the Kanai Balai, the Krishna Balaram, Shalagam Shilas, wherever he goes. Whatever he gets, the first thing he does, he puts on. And someone bought him a pair of shorts a few weeks ago. He put the shorts in the office and said, here, Kanai Balai. He said, I can't wear these without giving them you first. Everything. The first thing he does in his consciousness. Stop mine, so I turned mine off. He offers the first to the Jesus. You know.
If somebody
brings him some food, or if he goes to a place, the first thing he'll ask is, you got anything to offer Kanai Balai? And he won't ask for anything. He says, whatever from your heart you want to offer, please. They're eager to eat anything that you offer them. So I'm using that as an example because he was just traveling with me for 3 weeks and I saw him, you know. But essentially, a household should think the same way.
But why do we get upset when somebody tries to like take it away or something, steal it, or we get upset? It's Krishna, but still we get upset. You know, that somebody has tricked me into taking it, cheated me.
Well, we may get upset because maybe somebody else is trying to take it from us, not wanting it. It was not willing to use it for Krishna, exclusively for Krishna's service. So therefore, we face, think, why should I give it to him if he's not going to use it for Krishna's service? Or is he really using it for Krishna's service? I don't know. But actually, if one has faith, because that faith is a very important element in the giving. We have to have. If we're going to give to someplace, we want to make sure it gets to the proper destination. If you put your letter in a post office box, it better be authorized. Otherwise, it's just going to drop on the bottom of the box. It's not going to get to its destination. So in the same way, if somebody's taking something from you, you want to make sure it's actually going to get to Krishna, because you want to please the Lord. So if you have faith, then you won't be disturbed. Right. Just look at what happened to Bali Maharaj. When the Lord just asked for 3 steps of land and took everything in 2. And the Lord even apparently externally cheated him. Because he said, you offered me 3 steps and I'm punishing you. I'm going to arrest you and insult you because you didn't give me 3 steps of land. You didn't fulfill your promise. Where do I put my 3rd step? You have nothing left to give me. And Bali Maharaj said, sorry, I do have something left to give you. He said, place the 3rd step on my head. He gave himself. So, he gave everything. And he didn't feel cheated. He was happy. Because he was happy to be defeated by his worshipful Lord. So a devotee is always happy if the Lord gets it. Or at least should be. Because it's the first thing he does when he gets something anyways. And then, of course, if you say, well, don't take so much. Can we strike a deal? Let's negotiate. Krishna says, surrender everything. So you surrender your heart. And if you take whatever's necessary for your service to the Lord, and maintaining body and soul, maintaining family, you know, giving them what they need also, that's service. Because the body is meant for service to the Lord. As long as I have this body, I should be using it for Krishna's service. So that includes maintaining this body also. Okay, I wasn't going to talk long tonight. Is that it? We can have one more kirtan? Then, is there prasadam? Okay.
Tulsi Puja. Yes, we can. Should we have kirtan then Tulsi Puja, or should we just have Tulsi Puja?
Kirtan.
Huh?
Whatever you like.
Whatever I like. I'd like to have one more kirtan and then we can Tulsi Puja.
Hare Krishna.